You want to try sitting in? Come on, sit in. See if I hold up. So Manny's going to try the chair out. He has faith in this chair holding him up to the whole job. Okay, you can go back to your seat, Manny. Now, it held Manny. Does it mean it will hold me? There have been times when I've been walking around and little people scurry across a log or across some ice or something, and I'm coming along after them, and I'm a little heavier than I should be. So I look at the chair and I say, okay, is it going to hold me up? Well, I have faith. So I need to act upon the faith, and it shows the faith that I have, and that holds me up.
Just one simple illustration of faith. Okay, I can believe in something, but until I act on it, am I really sure that I'm trusting in that thing in which I believe? There are those who believe in Jesus and in God, but don't trust in Him. Don't act upon that belief. The demons believe and shudder. They know that God is true, but they shudder because they don't come to Him. Quick review from last week. A martyr. Now, what was the answer that Sharon gave us last week? Most people believe a martyr is someone who has been killed, who has died for the faith. Most people think of that as a martyr. Well, what I said last week is that a martyr doesn't have to die for the faith, but a martyr does have to live for the faith. And as we go through this hall of fame of those who were faithful in the Bible, those who had faith, as we go through that, the word that's translated over and over again, commended here, is that same word for a martyr. They were martyred. They gave testimony. They gave witness for their faith. They were commended for it, looking at how God views that as they did give that testimony. We'll be looking at the first few members of the Hall of Fame here and some general observations of the meaning of faith. We'll revisit Abraham later, because he gets in here a couple of times. But as we look at these, one of the things that we need to think about, do we belong in this Hall of Fame as well? Are we showing the things that these people showed in terms of their faith in God? Are we following after their example of faith, their witness of faith, the testimony that they bore to us? So we'll look at these: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, and look at some of the other general observations that the writer makes in regard to faith. First of all, Abel. He says in verse 4, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. What was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? Well, let's go back to Genesis 4, verses 2 to 10, and look at what the scriptures have to say about what Cain did, and we'll draw some observations then about why Abel's sacrifice was more acceptable. Genesis chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 2 through 10. "And again, she bore his brother Abel." So this is Eve, first Cain, and then Abel. "Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. Ever seen someone angry and see their face fall? You know what that sense is? You know, they just wear that anger on their face, and I'm not an actor, so I can't make the face. But anyway, you get the picture. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." What was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? Well, it doesn't specify it. God doesn't say, "This is what's wrong," but he does say, "You have a chance to come before me and do what's right." He doesn't tell him exactly what's wrong, but I think Cain knew in his heart what was wrong with his sacrifice. Was it the difference between just bringing an offering and bringing the firstborn from the flock? Some would point to that. Was it the difference between the fruit of the ground and a sacrifice of blood? So the picture of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. But we do see other places where God says that you can bring the fruit of the ground. You can bring things that aren't of blood as an offering. Doesn't say that this is a sin offering. And so that's another questionable one. We can speculate about many things. But what we do know is that Cain's heart wasn't right before God. The Lord said, "Why are you angry and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?" Cain needed a change in his attitude. He needed a change in his heart. He needed to take away the pride that with which he was bringing that offering in some way. And he needed to do well. As God said, sin was crouching at the door. Its desire was for you. Cain is angry. And how often when you become angry is sin crouching at the door? Is sin there ready for you to strike out? Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. So Cain needed to deal with the anger. He needed to look at his own heart and see what was wrong with it, and why then God wasn't accepting his sacrifice. Instead, he goes out and he takes vengeance on his brother, whose sacrifice was accepted. Cain could have done well. And what contrast does the writer of Hebrews point out? He points out the contrast between Abel coming in faith. He knows that Abel came in faith because his sacrifice was accepted. Abel comes in faith, and that's the contrast that we see in Scripture between Cain and Abel. Abel came in faith. He was trusting in the God to whom he came. He recognized that that was the God who provided those first fruits, who provided everything that was good, and he came to God. Abel had faith. Cain came trusting in something else. Cain came without the faith. Abel came trusting in the one to whom, who had given him the gift to bring. Was Cain's sacrifice a ritual, just something he did because everyone else was doing it and it was expected of him? Was it done as something to appease a God who he looked at as a tyrant instead of looking at him as a God of love and mercy and one that we should serve because he has given us so much? Was he coming with a heart that was turned away from God? Was he coming out of pride, saying, look at what I have done, and now I'm giving this to you. Aren't I great? Well, we don't know exactly, but we know that his gift was not brought in true faith. Cain needed to examine himself, to look at his heart, and then come humbly before the Lord his God, trusting in him. Trusting in the one who provides all good things. Abel had brought a blood sacrifice, but that may not be the prime thing here. The main thing is that Abel brought a sacrifice in faith. He was killed for it because God accepted that sacrifice. And then, as God comes to Cain, he says, the blood of Abel, your brother, is crying out from the ground. The writer of Hebrews then says, Abel still speaks. His blood, his voice is still crying out to us. We need to put away the proud heart. We need to put away the things that keep us from coming to our God and in faith come before him. Trusting in him, believing that he is the God who will care for us. Abel's faith is the thing that the writer focuses on here. Cain came without that faith. We must come to our God in faith. By faith, Abel. And then, by faith, Enoch. Verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Enoch. What happened to Enoch? We don't know a lot about what happened, except that he was there at one minute and he was gone the next. Do we have any Trekkies here? Beam me up, Scotty. That actual phrase was never actually said in the television show or anything. It was said later on. But beam me up, Scotty, where Captain Kirk would tell Scotty, his guy in the Starship Enterprise, to beam him up, and all of a sudden he'd go from one place to another. He would be teletransported or teleported from one place to another. He was there one minute, and he was gone the next. He was moved on. Well, that's the idea that's here in the scriptures. Enoch was the first one who was teleported. God just took him. He was there one minute, and he was gone the next. Why? Was it because he was bad? No! It was because he pleased God. And as we look at what Enoch did, it's a little different. It looks on the surface a little different between the Hebrew rendering and the Greek rendering in the Septuagint. In the Hebrew it says he walked with God. And so we sing about walking with God. Making our footsteps with God. He walked with God. The Septuagint translates that as he pleased God. And both are true. As he's walking with God, that's what pleases God. Walking with God. What did Adam and Eve do? Go back a little further. They walked with God in the garden. What a wonderful thing. Until sin entered the world. Well, Enoch pleased God. He walked with God. And so God took him. He had a lot of years on the earth, a lot more than we will live. but 365, something like that. But anyway, he was just taken up. He was taken away. But the writer of Hebrews then brings a general statement about faith. You need to have faith in order to please God. Enoch was commended for the testimony that he pleased God, that he walked with him. Without faith, you can't walk with God. Without faith, you cannot please God. As it goes on in verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. So first of all, you believe that he exists. You know that he is God. But remember, the demons also know that. But you believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, we get a little uncomfortable when we talk about rewards. But the scripture does talk about rewards. Now, this is a little different than like the prize that Paul talked about. Paul talked about running to get the prize of Philippians 3:12-14. Not that we have already obtained this, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. What a wonderful statement. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize, the thing that comes at the end, the trophy of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul is looking forward to. This is sort of the same idea here. The word, though, has the sense of just trusting in the promises of God. Are you trusting in the promises of God? That pleases him. Believing that he exists, but then trusting in his promises. On a side note, Enoch was taken up. He was teleported. He was there and then he wasn't, because he pleased God. We often have people in our lives that we say, well, they went too early. They died too early. Well, maybe God's on the other side saying, you know, they really need to belong up here. They've done enough on the earth. They can come and be with me, and they can have a life that we can only look forward to. So, you know, death in this world, there's a couple of different ways to look at it. There's always sorrow. There's hurt for the ones who are left behind. But the fact is, if someone is in Christ, they're going to a better place. And maybe God's just taking them because they pleased him. Enoch lived by faith. He pleased God. He walked with God. Are you doing the same? And then Noah. By faith, Noah, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, Noah was a righteous man like Abel. Abel was told, we're told that he was a righteous man. He walked with God like Enoch. But there's an illustration from Noah that goes a little further. Now, as I had Manny come up and show me that he had faith in this chair by sitting in it, by actually acting on it, the fact is that Manny could see the chair. What about Noah? God comes and warns him. He says, there's going to be a big deluge. There's going to be a flood. Build me an ark hundreds of miles inland. You don't have any water to put it in, but build me an ark. There's nothing that Noah can see. There's nothing that in his past or in the past of anyone else who's around him that would indicate that what God was saying was going to happen. But Noah knew that God was faithful. He trusted in his God. And he acted upon that trust. And even though he couldn't see anything, even though there wasn't any visible reason for him to do what he was doing, he went out and he acted on his faith. So that he and his household would be kept safe when the deluge broke. Thus he became a witness to the truth of the scripture already cited, "My righteous one will live by faith." Now he did this, the ESV has, in reverent fear. Now this fear isn't the one we usually have as a fear in scripture is phobos, so we get phobias from that. This is a different word. It doesn't have that same sense of sort of being afraid. It is a reverent fear. They use the two words to translate it. It's eulabetamai, which is a combination of the word for good and the word for take hold of. So we're taking hold of the good. Noah took hold of the good. He understood that God was a good God. He took hold of that. And he did what God wanted him to do just because he knew that God. We sometimes think of this as being circumspect or considering carefully the one in whom we trust. And that's what Noah did. He considered carefully. You know, he might have said, "What are you talking about, God? There's no water around here." But he considered who was talking to him. And he said, "If God says it, it is so, and I need to act upon that." In reverent fear, he did what God wanted him to do. And by this, the writer of Hebrews says, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. He did what God wanted him to do. Was Noah perfect? No. We see over and over again in Scripture, all of these people that are part of the hall of fame of the faith, we see them sinning. We see them doing things that are not of faith, but they come back and they show their faith and they act upon it. Are you considering carefully the one who has loved you so much that he provided all that you need to come to him? He provided the sacrifice for your sins and he provided the righteousness that you need to stand in his presence. Are you considering carefully that God who has given you that? Are you trusting in him, even for the things that are still unseen? By faith, Noah did that. And then we move on to Abraham. By faith, Abraham, verses 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive, as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham obeyed. And he went out. He acted on the faith that he had. He obeyed. He went out. Now, it says he didn't know where he was going. Not knowing where he was going. How many times have you gone out not knowing where you were going? I do it fairly often. But I usually have my handy phone around with the GPS so that I can find out where I am after I've gone there. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. He just trusted in God taking him where he needed to be. He trusted in that God who had given him a promise, and he trusted that that God would fulfill the promise. But notice, Abraham, even after he got there, he was a stranger. He got to the place that God had promised, and he's still living in tents. He was a nomad. He wasn't settled down anywhere. Here is the land that God provides, but he is still a stranger to it. He's an alien in it. But he's looking forward to a different city. He's looking forward to a city whose designer and builder is God. A city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham, while he was on the earth, never had a city with foundations. He never had a house with foundations. He lived in a tent, but he was looking forward to a better place. He was looking forward to the city whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He went out, not knowing where he was going, but he trusted in the God who is faithful. And Sarah comes in now too. By faith, Sarah, verses 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. By faith, Sarah received the power to conceive. She set in motion the fulfillment of God's promises because she trusted in that God who had promised. She considered him faithful. But, you know, as we look back at the story behind that, was Sarah, as soon as she heard that she was going to have a child, was she saying, "Oh yeah, I trust God"? What did she do at first? She laughed. She hears God say that. The Lord is talking to Abraham outside, and she's in the tent, and she laughs. Well, we should be very happy that we hear that story. Because do we always act in faith? Right? It's the first time that something happens. Do we always step out when we need to step out, when we first hear of something and we should step out in faith? No, often we're like Sarah, and we laugh at something, not thinking about the God who's providing. But Sarah did later. Sarah did think then about the God who is faithful, who had always been faithful, and whom she knew would always be faithful. And she acted then upon that faith instead of on that first inclination to laugh. And so she gets into the Hall of Fame. Sarah saw God as faithful. She considered him faithful. Do you? Now, Abraham ties in again as since Sarah was faithful, then God provided a son through him and through her. And so Abraham comes back in as the father of a multitude of nations, more than the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea, a multitude of nations. Both Sarah and Abraham had faith, and so God's promises were fulfilled through them. That promise would eventually include our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth as the one that the whole of the Old Testament was looking forward to, who would live his righteous life and then die on the cross for our sins and then be raised as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, we'll stop there in terms of the Hall of Fame, but then we'll look at just a general understanding of faith that comes from these people that we've looked at so far, verses 13 to 16. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. All of these that have been brought up so far are looking for something beyond this earth, beyond this world. They consider themselves aliens and strangers in this world, strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. A homeland. Now, this word is actually patris. It's fatherland. But we don't use fatherland very much because of World War II and the fact that the propaganda that went out to the anti-Nazi propaganda that went out used that fatherland reference all over and over again. And so we usually have a negative connotation when we think of fatherland. But before the Nazis, this word didn't have any negative connotation. It was the homeland. It was where they saw their home to be. And it was where they knew their fathers were. The fatherland, the homeland, was not of this earth. They're looking at a better country, a heavenly one. Now, when Jesus is talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, what does he say about their God? He says, I am, God says, I am the God of, or the Lord of, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am. So they still exist. They are with God in heaven. That is our fatherland. That is our homeland. There in heaven, with the ones who have gone before in faith. Are you thinking of your true homeland? Of the land, the better country, where those who have lived by faith have gone before you? Are you seeking to follow the example of those who live by faith? To spend your time here on earth as a stranger, as an exile, as an alien, knowing that you have a better place prepared for you. Notice that at the end of verse 16, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. God has already done it. He has that place waiting for us that He has prepared. We live our lives here by faith, knowing that there's more than this life, knowing that there's something that we're working toward, and everything that we do in this life is just a precursor to the wonder of being with our God for all eternity. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, insert your name. If you're looking for more than just this world, and you're living your life here in this world, trusting in that God who has redeemed you, and who's you calling you home, but has given you a work to do here to act on the faith that He has given. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do thank You that You give us faith, that You are a God in whom we can trust. You are a faithful God. Lord, help us to act upon that. To act in faith. When we look at the things that we can see, but also the things that are unseen, help us to trust in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.